are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Well, we sure like to make life look easy, don't we? We want it to be perfect and polished, and I just believe in the depth of my heart that by doing so, I believe we miss the greatest way that we can serve others, fulfill our own personal purpose, and most importantly, give God the glory for what we have been through. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time you're listening to this podcast, I'd like to welcome you to the show. My name is Kim Crable, and I'm so delighted to have you. Grab your coffee or your tea because we have an incredible program lined up for you today. Because, you see, the truth of the matter is we do all have problems. Life is not perfect. There are things out there that we have gone through that we wish we had never had to face. Nobody escapes being wounded. One of the most profound priests, professors, and writers, Henry Nouwen, writes, "We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds, which is so easy to do, don't you agree? For years I tried to hide them, but Professor Nouwen says it's not how we hide our wounds so that we don't have to be embarrassed, but here's the question. How can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When we take our wounds and when they cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, this great professor says we have become wounded healers. Isn't that amazing? See, I know that to be true in my life. Many years ago, over 25 years ago, God called me to begin acknowledging my hurts, accepting God's healing, and become a voice of His healing to all those around us, a voice of His hope. This is the foundational message of everything that I do, and you'll find the transformational path in my first book, Burdens to Blessings. But what's most important is when you see it alive in people's hearts and when you see a life that's been transformed and you look and think, how could that happen? When the hurts have been so devastating that you think, how could this be? How could something so great come from such hurts? And today, my friends, I'm honored to introduce you to one that I would definitely call, without a doubt, a wounded healer. He is my friend. His wife serves with me in our ministry here, and he has an incredible, life-impacting, inspiring story to share with each and every one of us today. So I would like to bring on my friend and another person from right here in Baltimore, Maryland, Dustin Plantoff. Dustin, welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am delighted to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Kim, and good morning to all the listeners. And it's my pleasure to be here with you to tell you my story, to tell you what happened
to me. Yes, and that's where we're going to start, Dustin. You know, you were a top model. I didn't even know this. You were a top model for a New York Miami agency. People would look at you. You were successful in businesses, and you know, it sounds like pretty much everything you've done as an adult. I mean, you hit it hard. You were intentional, and you came out on top. You were successful. So wouldn't it be so easy for the world to look at you and go, wow, wish I had his life? I mean, that's what we do, right? We show the perfect and the polished until we get to the point to where we realize there's something that's so much maybe deeper on the inside. And, Dustin, that's where I want to go with you today because you do look – not, you are a top model. You look like a model, but I didn't know that you really are a model.
Well,
but let's go back, Dustin. Let's just start. You were born August 12, 1983, in a place in Rainbow. I love that. Rainbow, California. At the age of three, things started to happen. Gosh, your life started taking a different turn at a young age, just like mine. Let's share with the listeners the beginning of your story, Dustin.
Well, thank you, Kim. Well, I'll tell you, as you just said, when people see others, when they look at you, they see you and they think, well, this person, they're resilient. And that is also one of the greatest lies of mankind. You see people in every walk in life, and you think, well, they're resilient. Yet you see the person on the side of the road. I like to use this story. You drive through Baltimore City or any major city in the United States, and you'll see that person on the side of the road, you know, the one holding the sign, and they're asking for some help. It is easy for you to look at the person and say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get your life together? Instead, when you take a step back and you think, what happened to that person? If I had put you in a home where your father left the family or your mother left the family, if I put you in a city where education is not top-notch, where you don't have a future from the outside looking in. And then on top of it, I made you an African-American in the city. Everything was stacked against you. It is very easy to see these people or to see anyone in this world and say, what's wrong with them? Instead, I tell people, find empathy. What happened to them? And more importantly, what happened to you? For me, I recognized early on that life's hard. Life is hard. Life's tough. It is the hardest thing we'll ever face. It is the hardest journey we'll ever go through. And my journey began at a place that should have represented love. It should have represented beauty. I mean, it's the rainbow that I am watching over you, and I will show you that I'm shining. Yet this little town called Rainbow, I was 3 years old when my mother had left the family. She was having a relationship, another individual. My sister and I were left in a bad place. My sister, her name was Tennille. She died, as I'll kind of get into the story, she died in 2014. When I was 3 and a half, almost 4 years old, my dad, who at the time had been working with a notorious motorcycle club, I won't mention on the airway, he has asked me the respect of not giving that. My dad had murdered somebody right outside of the house. This was traumatic. Now, when I talk about trauma, I think of trauma in many ways, but for trauma specifically, or especially for children, it develops and it turns into PTSD. Back to what happened to you. You know, this greatest lie ever told, the greatest lie ever told is this, that children are resilient. One of the greatest lies anyone will ever tell you, they'll get over it. Well, more importantly, I would say, when we finally get to that place to realize what happened to us, when we come back and now we can walk through the place, and more importantly, we can see the people in our lives that held us up. There was this man, I'll never forget. His name was Ed, Pastor Ed Lockmiller of a church called Rainbow Community Church. Tennille and I, we didn't have food. My dad would leave. Sometimes he'd get locked up in jail for a couple days at a time. And Tennille and I would leave our shack. It was this really, not a really pretty place, on 5th Street in Rainbow. And we would walk across the street. Pastor Ed would allow us to come into the church, and he'd give us little bags of food. To this day, I can't stand the taste of beans. That's all he had. It was a very poor area. But as I look back in my life, and it's easy to say, where was God? Well, God was there through Pastor Ed. That he was there to tell me that Dustin, God will send you the people in your life when you need them. That they will come into your life, and it may take you years to see, wow, I really did have an angel. I had somebody that looked after me. He fed us. You see, in my home, in this shack, my dad had an extensive collection of guns and drugs. And he would tell us, he would tell Tennille and I, never say anything to anybody, and especially never to talk to the police. My dad was involved with gun dealing, drug dealing. He also worked for, as I said earlier, a motorcycle gang, the 1%, where he would steal cars for them. And as he would go on to say, my responsibility was to clean up. And so these are two children that Tennille, She knew how to care for her younger brother. She was 2 years older, but for me at the time, she was my mother. She took care of me. And into my life, I would realize once again that you will have those shepherds that guide you when you're a sheep. Well, I lived in a world of wolves. Mm. And now for me today, looking back in my journey, and I see the people, it's very clear. And it was so easy. Everyone who's listening in, it is so easy to see what you don't have. And I tell people, use your pain for good. Use it as your fuel to drive you, to pull you up and to show you that life's tough, but you can be tougher. So that's what a rainbow represented to me, pain and suffering and agony, and I will never go back to the rainbow. Well, now today I can tell you there's a rainbow that shines over my family. There's a rainbow that goes with me every day of my life. It's this rainbow of love.
Wow. Well, that's you just said so much there, Dustin. It just, I'm just sitting down writing principles as you're just talking there. And, I love the fact that you are, I mean, how long has it taken you to actually talk about this? Was there a period of time? Because I know in my life, there was such a period of time when I ran from my past and my childhood hurt, you know, being abandoned at the age of 4 and like you in many, many ways. But I didn't want anyone to know. I sure wasn't going to, you know, get on a radio show and talk about it. Well, of course, now it's a global story that I don't mind. But it goes back to the quote that I talked about earlier. You know, once you can get to the place where you can allow God to start stripping away the shame and the guilt and the regret, then you have a life that that you want to celebrate, which is kind of where you are now. But let's back up a little bit. Was there a time when you were shameful that you didn't want people to know?
Yes, there were plenty of those moments. I've learned that we connect with people not on our strengths. We connect with people on our weaknesses. That shame that you carry, it could be the tipping point moment that when you release it and you tell someone else that you're going through this moment, that the other person says, that's what I needed to hear to know that my story, the things I went through, well, compared to yours, they weren't as bad, or it's not as bad. Now, my father, when I was 4 years old, and to this day it is remarkable that I can speak, I was involved in a major auto accident. I was 4.5 years old. It was Christmas Day. My father had taken me on a drug deal, left my sister at the shack. My sister at the time was 6 years old. 6.5 years old. And he took me to go sell, and he said at the time, I was going to go sell some drugs. And we had been pulled over by a police officer. Robbie was speeding. My father's name is Robbie, by the way. Robbie was speeding, and the police officer noticed that, well, the license plate on the truck didn't match the truck. And so he came over to the side and said, sir, the license plate doesn't match the vehicle. Please step out. Robbie then floored it. He then led the police on a high-speed chase all through the town called Temecula, California, into the mountains, into the desertous region, and to evade the police. We went over a high jump, as Robbie put it. And with that, the car fell and the truck collapsed within. I hit the windshield. Robbie picked me up, and I tell the story in the book. Robbie said, you were in real bad shape. I didn't know if you were going to make it. And we started to run, and he found an apartment complex. He had called one of his friends apparently beforehand, and so he had known that there was this friend of his that lived in this complex should he ever need a place to go. So he found the apartment complex, went in, and opened one of the doors of a person that he knew the home, and with that, he tried to disguise himself. He tried to get away. The apartment complex were surrounded by police at this time. I was bleeding. My tongue had been severely cut, deep laceration in my mouth and on the outside of my face. And now this time, again, I'm a 4.5-year-old little boy. My daughter, she's 5, so it is very close to my heart. We left the complex. As Robbie said, we had to go. We were on the run. And shortly after we had walked out, the police with guns drawn told him to put the kid down, and my father did not. He held me, and the police then forcibly took me from him. Robbie then, at that point, was put into a police car, and I was taken to the hospital. So pain of a parent hurting their child. Well, I carried that for years. How can a father do something so evil, so crazy? Yet my father, well, he was on drugs. And the problem is when you put these stimulants, when you take these mind-altering hallucinogens. It changes you. It will transform you. It will make you do things that in a million years you never saw yourself doing. So shame. I carried shame. I was put back into a foster home, into a place called Casa de Ampara. It is a house of refuge, a place for neglected children. My sister Tennille was waiting for me at the time. She was there. And then I went to visit Tennille. A couple months later, my father had posted bail with the help of his friends on the outside. And then he had kidnapped me from the Casa de Ampara complex by force. And then we went on the run. And we hid out in a Hells Angels camp for what went on a little over 4 months. Shame, I carried it. Was this my fault? Was it my fault we had gotten caught? My dad, as he said, I was doing it to protect you. I didn't want you to go to foster care because our mother was not in our family. You know, when we think about this craziness, when you think about your childhood, during the time, it is all you know. You know nothing else. And so looking back as being a father now, you can see it so clearly. How could you? But then I asked myself the question, what happened to Robbie? What made him who he was? What outside stimulants? All of these moments in our lives, Ms. Kim, it is biological, physiological, and social in nature. Back to what happened to you.
Absolutely, and spiritual too. You know, and one of the things that I'm hearing you say, and I love the fact that you bring it back to, because that's, you know, you talk about one of your favorite scriptures, or a scripture that led you into where you are now, is Matthew 7:1, where you say, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." It's the whole forgiveness concept, and you know that takes a lot to forgive, and I know that it there are steps. And I feel like there are a lot of people who are listening right now who are listening to your story, and they're finding themselves. I know every time I share my story, it's so crazy how much our stories are alike. I'm kind of like the male and the female version here of this childhood that was so turbulent and hurtful. But yet, you know, but then I always say, but God. You know, but God intervened.
But God.
He was there all along. And I love the fact that you talk about, but what did happen to him? Because I finally got to that point as well, to where it was not only just about me. It's like, wait a minute, let me see the larger picture. Because as I have in my book, you either confront the hurt that's before you or the hurt will overcome you. Either confront that which hurts you or it will overcome you. And for those who are listening today that probably, I'm sure there's so many tears. I feel it in my soul that your story is really touching people, because many of us look back on our childhood and we go, oh my gosh, it should not have been that way. And I love
it is very easy to see it that way. And I will tell you, not to cut in, Ms. Kim, but Evander Holyfield sent me this message for today. He said, Dustin, God calls us to forgive the inexcusable because he forgives us.
Exactly. And that's exactly the way that we are to approach life, because many of us have had things that have happened to us. Many of us have done things that we are so ashamed of, or whether it was done to us or we did it. But it is the forgiveness that God calls us to, and that is the path, that is the first step out of any dark path that any listener is listening to, is that dark path. And I would just like to, you know, Dustin, I want to just take a minute and tell our callers, if there's anyone who would like to call in and speak to Dustin or myself, or whether it be a question or just a comment, we would love to have you. You can call in at 347-324-5246 and press 1. So if you'd like to call in and speak to either of us, it's 347-324-5246 and press 1. Our executive director will bring you on. She will get the last 4 digits of your phone number. She will alert me, and we will bring you on. Dustin, I am just I just feel that God is really doing a big work today through you telling your story. I love the quote from C.S. Lewis, that as we share our – I'm sorry if I'm losing my voice. I've been on a speaking tour last week, and I don't normally talk as much as I've been talking the last few days, and my voice is kind of – I feel like I'm a young boy whose voice is changing a bit. But so excuse my voice when it does that. But I love the quote from C.S. Lewis when he says that when one person shares their story with another, the other one looks back and says, "You too? I thought I was the only one." And that's the connection
isn't there
that you're
power
talking
in that?
About.
You're right. It's you too. It's what happened to me. What happened to you?
Yes, exactly. And
we
you're
are not,
right.
We
and
are
I
not
feel,
alone.
No, absolutely. And that's why I feel like that you're speaking to a lot of people today. And I want them to understand that as we acknowledge our hurts, so we really can't get to the point to where we can go, yeah, that really happened to me. Because I don't
that
know
really
about
happened.
You, we talked about this earlier, you know, it's really easy to just keep running and keep running and keep running, but we don't, we'll never truly find ourselves or our truest passion and purpose until we stop and confront what it is that is been in our past and really begin to allow Christ to conquer it through us. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking this. I want to ask you, why Robbie? Why do you call your father Robbie?
That's a great question. So I'll continue the story, and it actually leads right into why I call him Robbie.
Okay.
Now my dad is officially being sent away to prison. I am now awarded custody of the state of California. The year is 1987. Tennille is also awarded custody into the state of California. We went into foster care. And at that time in the 80s, foster care was not like it is today. There weren't the same protection. There wasn't the same background checks. My foster care file, one of the hardest parts of me writing this book was reading through 300 pages of little Dustin. This pain that this child had gone through, this four and a half, this five-year-old, of what he had experienced. I was a bedwetter. I had been kicked out of six homes because a four-and-a-half-year-old little kid kept wetting the bed. That I had felt shame in my transcripts of saying, "I'm sorry," and my memories of foster care, and Tennille saying, "I'm sorry, please don't take my brother from me." This trauma that ended up happening in this early days, and it then rewires you into thinking, well, then I have to keep apologizing. I always got to be on my guard. You know, today, one of the things that I do, and we all have the thing that we need to work on, is it is very easy, especially when you come from your background, to be defensive, to always assume someone is accusing you. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. And that's because of what happened to me. Well,
right.
In this time period in foster care, we were there for just shy of 2 years. On the other side of the coast, my mother had left a family. She had gone to Maryland with her boyfriend, who then she ultimately married. She had started a new family, had a new child. We were left behind. November 1988, my mother calls in to the state of California and said, "You have my children," and they acknowledge we have them. January 1989, I now come to live in Baltimore, Maryland. My sister had been in Baltimore for a year. And from day one, my mother had said to us, "You are to refer to him as Robbie, no longer being your father." So when you asked me earlier, why Robbie and not my father, it is something I struggle with, because from the age of nearly six on, I was not allowed in my home to refer to him as Robbie. And so I will challenge you that if you are in a relationship right now, if you are a parent and you are in a divorce, or if you've been divorced, no matter what your husband what you've done, please, I encourage you, do not speak ill of the parent. Do not share with your kids what has happened between you and your spouse, because that then creates a new level of trauma. And so for us, he was Robbie. He was no longer our dad, this past life, which I carried with shame. Now, imagine this, Kim. I'm a young man growing up. I go to elementary school. I go to middle school. Who's your dad? Well, my dad's in prison. I can't tell them that. Shame. Shame is very, very hard for a child, especially when it's one where you're defending yourself from a parent. When you look around and you see what everyone else has, I can tell you that in my life, there are a few people that truly have been, for me, sent by God. My adopted uncle, Steve Plantholt, Dr. Steve Plantholt, my Aunt Jan. Day one, they accepted me into their home. Day one, they became my family. They saw this child. They saw Tennille. They saw what we had gone through, and they wrapped their arms around us and said, we love you. There's nothing you can do to ever. And that is unconditional love. And I understand what anyone feels. If you feel that you don't have unconditional love from a parent, I understand. It is very hard. It is something that you will carry with you. It will be a deep wound, and it will metastasize. It will turn into something ugly if you don't control it. As I said earlier, use it as your fuel. You know, the difference, Ms. Kim, between me and an Olympian is that they always find a little extra fuel in their tank, a little extra to keep going, that they won't quit. They don't give up. And so that, to me, is the story of this thing called life, life's journey, that no matter what happens to you, no matter what comes your way, that all you do is need to look up, and there are reminders all around you that you can be tougher. You can be stronger than this. It doesn't have to break you.
I agree so heartily. There's so many tough times between the hurt and the healing, though, aren't there? There's so many times when it would just be, and I feel like that's why, you know, a lot of people are listening today. It's like, okay, they're in the trenches. They're in those really dark places. And so we're going to take a 30-second break, Dustin. And when we get back, I want you to speak to those who are, and I think we have a caller as well, but I want you to, you know, speak to those who are really in the trenches. Go back to, before we move over to where God has led you into really becoming a source of hope to so many, you know, to really speak to those where they are. I think that one of the greatest things that we saw about Christ, that one of the greatest principles, is that he met people right where they were, and still today. So I'd like for you to speak to those, you know, that feel really hopeless. And so so you be preparing in the next 30 seconds with all that hope that you have to come back, and let's break for 30 seconds and then be back and share some hope, okay? Be right back.
Sounds good, Ms. Kim.
Hey, everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see, every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back to Coffee with Kim. We are so delighted that you joined us today. We'd like to remind you that Coffee with Kim is an entirely listener-supported radio station. If you'd like to invest in our radio program, it's as easy as sending a text to radio at 410-376-5855. Text radio to 410-376-5855. We are currently planning our 2019 Burdens the Blessings tour. If you would like for us to come to your area, please just click on to our website, or you can actually click on to my assistant, Karen, karen@rosesandrainbows.org. We would love to come meet you and hear your story and see how God is using that. Before we go to our guest, I'd like to also remind you to watch our new TV series on NRB-TV, Perfectly Imperfect. It's on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. So go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. You can get all the updates. Plus, I do a daily devotional. I do a live every morning. So join us. The more we have, the more information we have. The more we have, the more treasures we have, the more nuggets. We need your story to be all that we can be. So coming back to our incredible guest host today, Dustin Plantoff. Dustin, your story and what you have been able to do is incredible. And I love how God can pick us up in our darkest times and do incredible things in our lives. And I just want to thank you for sharing the part of your story that you shared so eloquently so far. But before we move forward, I'd like for you to speak to those who are listening that just are in. I want you to go back to some of those darkest times, Dustin, even as an adult, and think about what it was that you needed to hear. What would you say to some of these listeners who really want to take their pain and find a purpose, what would you suggest to them?
So I will tell you that 2014 for me was one of the hardest moments of my life. I had gotten a phone call. I was driving back from a gym called the Mac in Timonium, mm-hmm. Maryland. And
yes.
my stepbrother called me and said, Tennille has been found dead.
Now, Tennille is your sister, correct?
Tennille is my sister, and I wasn't prepared. I was just so shocked. What do you mean? This was the person that, this was my guy. This was my Sherpa. My sister never gave up on me. You know, you talk about the days of modeling, what made me leave modeling, and this is something that's going to be news to many of you listening in, it is in the book, that I had been having a number of the contracts, the gigs that I had done everything from Jane Barnes to Hex, Macy's, Sears, Modell's. I had been in magazines, Cosmo, in the world. And what I would define as the world is you're looking to find that thing. We all are looking for it. Our whole lives we look for one thing and we don't even know what it is. It's our peace. I needed the pain to go away. I needed to forget. I started to use cocaine. I needed the pain to go away. I started to party, and I had called my sister. It was a night where there was a 48-hour binge. In the world of the modeling industry and the acting industry, everyone is using drugs. Everyone at that time period were using something to either keep them thin or to keep them awake. And I had called Tennille, and I was weeping. And she had said to me, and she had just gotten out of rehab herself, she said, brother, I love you. I kept you alive. I protected you. I fed you. I am telling you and I am begging you, walk away. But Tennille, Dustin, what good is it if you gain the whole world and you lose yourself in the end? I'm an addict. I've lost everything in my life because of it. I kept you alive. You have to end this. And with that, I sent a letter to my modeling agency in New York and in Miami. Many people at the time asked me why I was leaving. They had seen me in magazines. They had seen me in newspapers. It was Tennille. She saved my life. So when we go through these dark moments, I do believe, and I know it is so difficult. It is so hard to see through your pain that you will be given the people as you need them. In my life, as I mentioned, the Plantholtz came along. They took me in as their own. Over the past year, I've had some amazing, amazing men and women enter my life. Lloyd Palmateer, Billy McCarty, Pastor Herschel, Chuck Norris. There are countless people that when you are caught up in yourself, when you are caught up in the lie, and the lie is this, you won't survive this. You need to end it. When Tennille died, that for me began the awakening moment of what will all this be worth if I don't share with others that I understand I'm a statistic, but use it. Use it for good to help somebody get through their darkest days and their moments to see it doesn't matter if you were stabbed as a child as I was. It doesn't matter if your father put you into an accident. It doesn't matter if your mother left you. It doesn't matter what has happened to you, that you will have the people along your journey that will pick you up. They're going to put you under their wing. And that for me is one of the things that I would tell the audience and the listeners. I'd ask you to write down those Sherpas. They're in your life. Sometimes it's hard. You know, remember when you're young, you don't see the flowers. You don't see the beauty of the garden. The older you get, you'll have that moment, Ms. Kim, where you sit down and you look at a rose or you look at a lily or you look at a dandelion even. You go, it's beautiful. You go, right, you're seeing it from another lens. And I would encourage you, have someone in your life. Have people to hold you accountable. Have mentors in your life to keep you from going back to dark days.
Yeah, and there is such a principle in that. You must have accountability partners. You must have those people you call mentors. And I've also found, Dustin, if you're like this, but I've also found as while I'm mentoring someone, I must have a mentor. It's just really important to have that accountability, to have that team around you, because that's one of the things that we do within the Ministry of Roses and Rainbows, is that we, in sharing our stories, we realize that the healing comes when you have someone who accepts that story. God allows us to be a partner in the healing that he does by being those eyes that have that look of unconditional love when our stories are told. I know that's what I needed so badly when I was running from my story and until I was ready to confront it. But it's those, having those people with that unconditional love that hold on to you, that don't walk away when it starts getting tough or it's getting hard, but rather they roll up their sleeve. There's never been a more representation of Christ in your life as to those people. Dustin, I'm not sure that you told our audience how Tennille died.
Tennille had a heroin problem. She had become an addict on and around the age of 15. At the same time, I call it a connection. In life, we look for a connection. We look to bond. Tennille did not have a bond. She did not have a bond with a mother. She did not have a bond with a father. And so she found a bond with heroin. It made everything easier. It made her world lighter. And the problem is when you start to use that as your way out, you get deeper and deeper. And the tunnel seems to get a little further away from the light. And in 2014, she had weighed a little over 109, 110 pounds when she finally had passed away. And she died. They found her, and I read the toxicology report, and I wept, Ms. Kim. And I will tell you, it is okay to weep. You cry. You let it all out. And then I looked for a sign. I remember praying, God, there must be a reason. You took from me. You took from me the person that I loved more than anything. This was my mother. And I got a message on Facebook from my cousin, Danny Kirkpatrick, and then from Jamie Kirkpatrick. And this was a side of the family. My mother's brother, who had passed away years prior, he had children, and we hadn't had a connection. We hadn't been in contact. And he sent me a message, and so did my cousin Jamie. And they said, we love you. We are going to come out, and we're going to be there for our cousin. We're going to be there for Tennille. So in these moments of heartache, in these moments of pain, you will reunite. You will reconnect, and there will be people that come along this journey that they're going to be there. And are you in a place? Is your mindset in a place that you are open to it? You must be open to it. You must be open to correction. You need to be open to accountability. I have had those role models in my life. I've had those moments where my uncle, Dr. Steve Plant, would call me, come on, Dust. Come on, man. You know better than that. All right, all right. And I'm a grown man when he's giving me this counsel. You need to be open to counsel. It is the best thing you'll have in your life. These are people that care about you. They love you. They want nothing but the best from you. Even when you don't have family, God sends you family.
Absolutely. I think that we must get to the point in our lives where we are so desperate that we're ready for that counsel, because it's just like you said, we can be so defensive when you've come from a past that is so dysfunctional and so hurtful that you build those walls. And that was the greatest chore for me, is to begin allowing God and other people to chisel the hardness that I had put around my heart, just to protect myself from any more hurt. So I so agree with what you're saying, but to me, I almost had to hit rock bottom before I found the solid foundation in which I needed to really reconstruct and build my life that had been so shattered. But in it all, that's the beauty of where, and I'd like to get into this part of the story because we only have about 15 minutes left. I told you, Dustin, it was going to go by very quickly. I knew it would.
It's going by very quickly.
Everybody always, when I first say, you know, would you like to be on the program, it lasts an hour. People go, oh, there's no way we can talk for an hour, and it always seems like it's about 10 minutes. But, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is that you do get to that point to where you just say, well, you know, that's the way my story was, but it isn't the way it needs to be finished. At any moment, I can, through Christ, have the power that I need. He has empowered me to say, I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to change it around, and to realize that, gosh, the things that we've been through, God doesn't negate. He doesn't want to just make them disappear. He truly does want to find a purpose in all that pain. And for the listeners who are out there, I know that is such an incredible concept to begin to wrap your brain around. And I know it was for me for so many years, but it is so the truth. Even the verse of Genesis 50:20, where God says those things that were meant, well, actually it was Joseph, those things that were meant for evil, God can turn them for our good. And the story of the blind man, where people looked at him and said, Jesus, what's wrong with him? He's born blind. Who sinned, he or his mom? You know, sometimes we're just caught in the environment, in the situation of sin. And it doesn't mean that Dustin did anything wrong. Kim didn't do anything wrong. Listener, as you're listening, you didn't do anything wrong. You were caught in this world of sin or everything that was going on. But you don't have to stay there. It goes back to what this whole second season of this coffee radio station is about, confronting the hurt wherever you are, to just stop running. And just, for me, it was a matter of just truly falling on my knees saying, God, I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to be a better, I want to have everything that I hoped that my childhood could have been. And Dustin, that's what I see in you as a father. That's how my past created me and building my family with my husband and being a mother to my children. And I see that as I read your materials, that you have taken those things that were meant for evil, but you've turned it for your good. And what's so amazing is that now your children have such a greater father than most because of what you've gone through, the intention in which you live. So let's go there and talk a little bit about how your past has really served you to have the great future.
So I'll start it with asking for all of you to ask yourself this question, that if you think back over your life, you think about the good, the bad, the pain, trauma, it follows you. The hardest moments in your life, you never forget them. You remember the second, the minute, the place. You remember what the air smelled like. You remember your environment. You remember the darkest moments. I will ask you this question. Are you going to continue to be a volunteer victim? You are keeping yourself in that place. You are pushing yourself there. And I'm going to read to you. This is the last chapter in the book. And it's the one that we started with writing first. I also want to say that back to the people in your life that come in, Gerald Levin, he has been for me my Sherpa over this past year. This is, everyone has a story. And this is what, for me, is my legacy, which will show my children that if I can forgive, that if I don't lie down, if I keep standing up and fighting, then they too, no matter what they go through, no matter the trauma they will face, if I unintentionally create it for them, that even they can forgive me. Everyone has a story. Some stories are more riveting than others. That's to be expected. Not every story is the basis for a movie. The important thing with your own story is what you will do with it, or to put it another way, what will your legacy be? This brings to mind a tombstone reference you may have heard of. Tombstones generally have two dates inscribed, a date of birth and a date of death. They've often been connected by a simple dash. Looking at the two dates, a natural question emerges. What happened during the time symbolized by the dash? In other words, how will that person be remembered? In my case, I want to be known as someone with a powerful story that helped to make others' lives better. The story is one thing, but how it can influence others in a positive way is the vital consideration. Sure, I know what it's like to feel unloved as a child, what it's like to always feel resentful. I know what it's like to have parents who constantly claim to be victimized and blame you as a kid for their misfortunes, and what it's like to just want to be a kid rather than being a kid who's treated as an adult. I know what it's like to be forgotten and left behind, like the time my mother left my sister Tennille and I in foster care while she went and started a new family and gave birth to a new child. It's important for everyone to tell their stories. You never know when your story will resonate with another person and give hope to that person. Look, Dustin and Kim got through the same kind of things I'm facing. They might think, I can make it through too. No one chooses their parents or what they have to endure as kids. I certainly didn't. And I didn't choose to lose my sister without ever saying goodbye. The most relevant consideration now is how I can use those experiences to help guide others through their own tough times. When I speak to groups, I hear stories that make you cry and stories that make you laugh. I hear stories that make me think that my circumstances were not so bad in comparison. For instance, I've heard horrific narratives tied to the Lost Boys of Sudan. The boys emerged out of a civil war that ravaged Sudan during the 1980s. This conflict led to the displacement of 20,000 young Sudanese boys, most of them between the ages of 5 and 8. Those are the ages of my kids. The boys, in their effort to escape death or induction into one of the combatant armies, attempted to walk more than 1,000 miles to neighboring Ethiopia. Those who survived the journey were forced again during the early 90s to flee the outbreak of a civil war now in Ethiopia. This time, the boys, they headed for Kenya. The International Rescue Committee and other relief groups provided aid to the boys at a refugee camp in Kenya. Nearly a decade later, the United Nations Refugee Agency, working with the IRC and other organizations, helped to bring several thousand of the boys to the United States. Then, on another occasion, I heard a story about a young preschool girl. The girl's parents had decided they didn't have the money to raise her, so they left the girl in the middle of the street. Someone would come along and take care of the girl, the parents thought. Girls like that do get picked up. However, it's often by bad people who sell the girls into human trafficking rings. A large number of the girls are sold into forced labor situations, victims of sexual exploitation. The stories are as varied as the people who tell them. And each time I hear someone's personal account, I do not frame it as something that was more horrible than my own story or something that was not as bad as what I went through. You cannot discount the impact of any singular experience. To the person who lived it, their story can seem just as devastating as any other. As I've already said, the point is to use your story to give others hope. It's quite liberating to move beyond your past. Don't keep your story to yourself and allow it to eat away at you by building up a never-ending stream of resentment. Instead, consider how your experience, your story, could benefit somebody else. Your story may be just what it takes for someone to get through a tipping point moment, an instance when that person either chooses to continue to be a victim or when that person manages to transcend a particular situation. Your story could even prompt another person to say, compared to your experience, maybe my parents, my life, were not as bad as I thought. Also, if you can, please donate to the charitable groups that do so much to support young kids in peril, Christian Services, an international nonprofit dedicated to the concept that every child deserves a loving family. This is my story.
Thank you, Dustin. Thank you so much. That was very well read, and I really appreciate that so much. I think we have a caller. We have about 7 minutes. And let me see. Caller 9547, would you like to jump on for just a minute? Do you have a question? Caller 9547. Hello.
Kim, can you hear me? This is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
From Augusta.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, Dustin. I just want to thank you for being real. That's something that Kim has been teaching us through her ministry, is being real and sharing our stories, and that is just what you are doing, Dustin. And thank you that you're learning these things at a very young age, whereas I have been learning at a very much older age. And one thing is, you know, when we're dealing with other people, we do have to stop and think why those people are the way they are, because their past has something to do with that. And Dustin, just continue to do what you're doing, because God is using people like you to help those that have lost hope. And just as in Psalms it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And he's using you, Dustin, and you, Kim, to help all that are listening. He is there. And Dustin, I just thank you that what Satan meant for evil, God is turning into good, because he's using your story, Kim's story, and he's turning it into good. So don't ever give up, and just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dustin.
I wish I could give you a hug right now. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, so much. And thank you so much. And I think that for the listener, for anyone who's listening, I want you to, you know, make that personal, because that's why I travel, and that's probably why Dustin is doing what he's doing, is, you know, on the cover of my first book, discover the power of your story. You know, listen to Dustin's story, listen to my story, listen to Linda's story, but then start to develop your own. And, you know, and that's as simple as one of the things that Dustin said, you know, have people around you. You know, in our groups, when we go away for weekends and retreats, and I was just in New Jersey and New York last week, Dustin, it was amazing. I spoke in some rehab centers of the people talking about the drug addictions, the alcohol addictions. Many girls had been abandoned and gotten caught up in the sex trafficking. You know, it is that pain, it's that hurt. And for those who, when you don't know what to do with the hurt, you just want it, like you said, you just want the peace. You want it to stop. And
that's the
know,
most important
many,
thing you have is your peace.
There are many artificial things that can silence that hurt and try to, you know, make that the pain seem more distant. But the only way to really ever silence the pain is to find the peace in Christ, is to really just sit down like you did, Dustin, and say, wait a minute, there's got to be something bigger here. There's got to be something where I can use this to help others, and to not be judgmental, but to say, what do I have in my life that can help others? So for you listeners who are out there and you're thinking, well, I just can't even believe, you know, that may work for some people, but it won't work for me. I will tell you, I promise you, it will work for you if you just find one person to begin to share your story, because your story is very important. I read a quote one time, and I love it. It says, what we've been through is our story. What we do with it becomes our legacy. And I feel like that's what's most important. My mom died. Her last words to me were, don't live like I'm dying. Dustin, she never really had the courage until the very end to do what you're doing, to really confront the hurt. The hurt had truly overcome her. But at the last minute, because of her vulnerability, because she was fighting for her future, she had finally left the past behind and she was fighting for her future, she said those words that forever changed my life. And Dustin, I know the words that you are spreading, the words that you're saying are also going to be the words that are going to be the catalyst of someone who's going to say, wait a minute, if Dustin did it, I can do it, because Dustin is so passionate about it that I'm going to be able to do it. So, Dustin, we have 2 minutes left. I would love for you to take this time and tell people how they can reach you, how they can – please tell them about your website,
Wonderful.
Life's Tough, You Can Be Tougher. Let us know how we can reach out to you, Dustin, because I'm sure there are many who will want to.
Wonderful. Well, so where I am today, the book. The book will be published by a publishing company, but I'm at Porch Time Publishing. My dear friend,
yes.
Michael Dotsikas, LifesTough.com, L-I-F-E-S as in Sam, tough, T-O-U-G-H.com. A couple months back, I was looking for the name. What am I going to call this thing? And then it hit me. Well, Life's Tough. I went online. Somebody had owned the website. I called into GoDaddy, and this lady said to me, I was working through a broker, why do you want the name Life's Tough? I had told her a little bit of my story, and she said, Dustin, today is the one-year anniversary of losing my husband to cancer. Life is tough. Mm. I'm going to get you this website. She got me the website for about $700, and with it became this journey where I tell people, while I have a story, you have one equally, if not more powerful. Share your story.
Yes.
LifesTough.com. You can share your story confidentially. You can free yourself, and with that, we'll help people around the world. So Life's Tough, L-I-F-E-S, as in Sam, Tough, T-O-U-G-H.com. Please pre-order the book. Get the word out to your family and friends. This is not about Dustin Plantle. This is about starting a movement. That life's tough, you can be tougher.
Mm. I love that, Dustin. Thank you so much. Now, did you give the address for the website? You wanted to give that one more time?
Sure, www.lifestough.com. L-I-F as in Frank, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, LifesTough, T-O-U-G-H.com. That's LifesTough.com. You can pre-order on the site. My publisher is Porch Time Publishing. They're a niche publisher out of New York. And an interesting story around that, we were actually introduced at a fundraising event for an organization we both hold very dear to our hearts called Pathfinders for Autism. So God will connect you if you're open to it. God will bring you the people in your life that will help you tell your story, and more importantly, pick you up and hold you accountable along the way.
Absolutely. Dustin, I just cannot thank you enough for sharing your story, just a tiny part of your story, and having the, you know, the freedom to do that, because in our freedom, as we share ours, I know that it is our authenticity, it is our willing to share what we've been through that really gives other people the courage and the confidence to begin to share that. And so with that in mind for you listeners, I challenge you to find your quiet time and reflect back on your story and think about the many, many things that you have conquered. Look at you. You're still walking. You're still living. God has done a work in you. Other people, we need to hear your story. It's going to inspire us to keep on keeping on. So please, you can visit Dustin's website. Please, by all means, you're always free to come onto our website. Go on to facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. We would love to help you. We're going to do some writing workshops this year. We will help you write and develop your story. It is a wonderful thing to get to the place to where you realize that your past really does have a purpose, that your hurts really can be healed, and those hurts and that healing can truly be a source of your hope to share God's love with this world. Well, Dustin, thank you again so much. Promise me you'll come back another time. Will you come back?
I will. There's a lot more to the story, but I gave you guys the things that really, for me, you needed to hear today, and that is life's tough.
Absolutely.
You can be tougher.
Absolutely.
I also want to thank my family, my wife in particular, for being patient with me through this journey. I know it caused a number of things for me to relive, but ultimately it's what's going to make us all tougher in the journey.
Absolutely. And such a great father you are, and husband. So I just appreciate that so much. Well, listeners, we're out of time. We want to thank you so much for joining us for Coffee and Kim, and stay tuned for next week. We'll be right back next Monday, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Looking forward to seeing and hearing you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.